Revenge of the Entitlements.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. Today, we get an update on the two biggest drags on America's long-term budget, Social Security and Medicare. Here's a preview from Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
Every year at about this time, the trustees for Social Security and Medicare put the equivalent of an oil change sticker on the program's windshields. Last year, trustees said the Social Security Fund would start paying out more than it collects in 2017. They said the Medicare Trust Fund would start paying out more than it takes in within a year. Experts say today's report will show the situation is even worse. The recession means fewer people working and therefore fewer people paying into the trust funds. While that's unlikely to mean immediate benefit cuts for recipients, it will mean more stress on an already gigantic budget deficit, more than $1.8 trillion this year. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
One ingredient of that deficit is the government rescue of the banking system. Sources this morning say Bank of America just sold $7 billion of its stake in China Construction Bank to a consortium of Chinese and Singaporean investors. The government had told B of A it needs to raise $34 billion. Citigroup says it has used its $45 billion government dollars to make about that much in new loans. Citi says the loans to state and local governments, municipal agencies, universities, and nonprofit hospitals would probably not have been made had the bank not gotten that bailout cash. Asian markets closed around 2% lower today. Major European markets are mixed. Yesterday, the Dow lost 155 points and closed at 8,418. Stock in Ford has surged lately as GM and Chrysler have withered, and Ford is taking advantage. The carmaker says it will issue 300 million shares of common stock to raise about $2 billion. By raising the money privately, Ford hopes to stay off the government dole. The owner of European plane maker Airbus delivered a disappointing set of numbers this morning. EADS says first quarter profits were down 40%. From London, here's Stephen Beard.
Airbus delivered 5% fewer aircraft in the first quarter. Prices were lower too, and that further depressed revenues. Penalties for late deliveries account for the rest of the damage to the bottom line. Even more worrying for Airbus is the future flow of work. In the first quarter, after cancellations, they took orders for a total of just 8 planes. Compare that with the 395 ordered in the same period last year. If it's any consolation, says David Buick of the BGC Group, Boeing isn't exactly flourishing either. He says both companies have been hit by the fall in air traffic, especially in business travel.
People sit at board tables and look at each other on a television screen rather than getting into a plane and spending, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 to go wherever they have to go.
EADS's share price, already down 60% since last year, fell further this morning. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. American Public Media brings you 4 documentaries about the economic crisis, supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
The 20th century was called the American century, headlined by this country's prosperity, mobility, and individualism. This week, we're looking at what the American dream means abroad. Our week-long series is called The Next American Dream, and we begin with Marketplace's Shanghai Bureau Chief Scott Tong. Scott, the American dream means social mobility, physical mobility, of course, your own self-sufficient castle in the suburbs. What does that dream look like in China? Does the American dream mean anything there?
Well, I've talked to a lot of people, Bill, in China, and I haven't heard anybody utter that phrase before. I think a big misconception that both people in China and people in the U.S. have is everyone else in the world probably lives and thinks like we do. One thing that is similar here is the value of home ownership. It might be even more important here in China, but for a different reason. In the last 70 years, China has experienced a whole lot of instability, foreign imperialism, civil war, famine, all these things that make people think about instability and that they want stability. Well, the one thing you can have in China that buys you a piece of the rock is owning your own place. And so it is almost a national obsession.
What has this drive to own property done to social life in China?
Well, here's one giant implication. If you run this question by single guys in Shanghai or any city in China, what they'll tell you is if you don't own your own place, you basically can't get hitched. The woman will say no. And it sounds like a joke and it sounds funny, but except that it's true. A lot of women will say, you know, I need some kind of financial stability in the mate that I pick. And what does that mean in China? It means owning your own place. So you have a lot of angst there, and you have a lot of angst from their parents because parents have one child in China. So it has a giant social implication for single people in China.
As China gets wealthy, this is the American perspective. Oh, China's getting wealthy. They're going to get like us. They're going to have a car, an automobile-centered life, and it's going to be arranged around suburbs. What's it actually looking like there?
You just don't have the space for everyone to live in a house in the suburbs along cul-de-sacs. Here's the problem, though. A lot of people are buying cars, and they want to own cars for the same reason Americans do. The planet can't afford a billion people in China becoming middle-class people, a billion people in India becoming middle-class people, developing an American car-based lifestyle. So it would be good for the planet, it would be good in a whole lot of ways, if developing countries like China actually developed a lifestyle that was different, that was unique to their own countries, and that thought a little bit more about resources, because what we've learned this generation, obviously, is they're in much shorter supply than we thought before.
Scott Tong in Shanghai, thank you.
Okay, Bill, thank you.
You can learn more about the ideas in this series. It's called Next American Dream. Find out more at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.